officially known.
Okay, I want to call the April 2018, we're ahead of time, okay? I want to call the July the 13th commission meeting to order, 9 a.m. in the morning. Our honor guard duties will be provided by our Lake Travis Fire and Rescue honor guard. Honor guard, could you post the colors, please?
Join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pledge to the Texas flag.
Honor the Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to thee,
Texas,
one state,
under God,
and one and indivisible.
Let us pray. Lord God, Father of all mankind, we thank you for this new day and the opportunities that lie before us to serve the citizens of this great state. We thank you for the gift of life itself and for the lives of the men and women represented here today. We especially lift up the firefighters and police officers of San Antonio and their family who died in the line of duty. We ask that you would cover them with your gift of love and grace and protect them and give them protection. As we continue our business this morning, we ask that you would help us to be wise stewards. Give us discernment and wisdom as we carry on the business of this commission. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 All right. Roll call.
Commissioner Anderson.
Here.
Commissioner Carson.
Present.
Commissioner Cortez.
Here.
Commissioner Doster.
He's absent. Excuse.
Commissioner Ekus.
Here.
Commissioner Gillette.
Here.
Commissioner Gonzalez.
Here.
Commissioner Jones.
Present.
Commissioner McMakin.
Here.
Commissioner Moore.
Here.
Commissioner Perez.
Here.
Commissioner Toll.
Absent. Excused.
And Commissioner Whitlock.
Absent. She's also absent. Going to be absent. Excused.
I believe we still have a
Toll. Toll is not here.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. I'm sorry.
Okay. Hearing roll call, we do have a quorum. We'll continue on.
Item two, adoption of the commission meeting minutes, April 27th, 2017.
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second. I have a motion by Commissioner Perez, seconded by Commissioner Ickes, to approve the minutes for April 27th, 2017. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item three, budget strategic plan subcommittees may meet separately or together on July 13th, 2017 during the commission meeting and provide reports for discussion of possible action related to any recommendations developed by the subcommittees, including but not limited to modifications to the agency, operating budget, and strategic plan.
Do I have any reports from the budget committee?
No specific reports, but based on our workshop yesterday, there are going to be some considerations for future changes, and so we'll have that ready to report once that's decided.
Okay.
Okay.
How about the strategic planning committee?
No new.
No
business.
Report. Okay. Item four.
Reports from fire service interest groups and agencies on matters related to organizational purposes, functions, and objectives, including but not limited to the Texas Fire Chiefs Association, Texas State Association of Firefighters, State Firemen's and Fire Marshal Association of Texas, Texas Fire Marshal Association, Texas Association of Fire Educators, the Texas A&M Forest Service, the National Fire Protection Association, Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts, Center for Public Safety Excellence, and the State Fire Marshal's Office.
Okay. Betty?
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Betty Wilkes. I'm the Executive Director of the Texas Fire Chiefs Association. And we're doing our usual thing. We're doing our academies. We just had an academy in Georgetown, and we're having another one in Garland in October, and I tell y'all about that all the time. But I will tell you some new things that we're doing. We have the third annual LODD conference coming up in October in Hearst, and one thing that we're innovating this year is we're leveraging technology so that folks can view the LODD conference in one of three ways. You can come face-to-face and fellowship with all of your fellow chiefs and fire service professionals, or if you can't travel, you can also visit, or you can watch the program via webcast individually. And then the big thing is that you can buy a subscription for your whole department for $1,000 for all of your firefighters, all of the shifts. We're recording it, and each department for $1,000 can watch the LODD conference. We're really, really interested in getting prevention out on LODDs, and we want to get this information out. We've got Gordon Graham, we've got Bruno Cini, we've got Tim Sindelbach, and Billy Goldfeder. Dr. David Griffin is coming to speak on the Charleston Sofa Market fire. So it's just another really, really good program. So that's sort of new that we're doing that. So look for that. And another new thing that we're doing this year is we're having a general membership meeting at the Teeks Municipal Fire School on Sunday, July 23rd. And that's really sort of an outreach and attempt to let specifically the combination and the volunteer departments know the programs that the TFC has, such as best practices and fire chief's workshop and company officer symposia. I think a lot of folks don't know that we offer scholarships for the volunteer and combination departments, and we really want to bring everybody in a big tent for the Texas Fire Chiefs. And so if you're in College Station or planning to teach that week, please come to the Hilton on Sunday before school kicks off at 4 p.m. and we'll just have it low pressure. It's not a sales thing or anything, just a fellowship meeting. And that's really it. And if you have any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer them. But very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Betty.
You bet.
Texas State Association of Firefighters.
Conferences this week.
State Firemen's and Fire Marshals Association of Texas. Just real quickly, I received a text from Chris Barron. He was not able to attend. Chief Henry Perry was supposed to be here, but I don't see him. If he comes in a little late, then we may adjust and allow them to speak at that time. State Fire Marshals Association. Texas Association of Fire Educators.
Morning, how you doing? Laurie Christensen, President of the Texas Fire Marshals Association. Again, we're planning our 40-year anniversary conference in October. It'll be the week of October 16th through the 20th. We're starting to put out the agenda, list of speakers. We're pretty excited about that. Also bringing down some of the National Association members. We held our first Module 1 of the Fire Marshals Executive Training Program at Sam Houston State. We held that in May. Excellent turnout. It was so good, and we had so many applications that we're now holding a second module in the second week of September. Module 2, which would be graduation week, is going to be held the second week in November. We attended the National Fire Protection Association Conference, bringing a lot of information back to our members on that. As well, we're going to continue our participation in the legislative initiatives for the extended session. Thank you.
Texas Association of Fire Educators. Texas A&M Forest Service. National Fire Protection, NFPA, National Fire Protection Association. Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts. Center for Public Safety Excellence.
Good morning, Texas Commission of Fire Protection Commissioners, staff, and guests. My name is Leonard Chan, and I'm the current chair of the Texas Center for Public Safety Excellence Consortium. Our focus is to foster continuous improvement among fire departments across the state, especially through the Center for Public Safety Excellence's agency accreditation model. I would like to thank you for having the opportunity to provide updates on our recent activities. We hosted a Texas-wide meeting at my home department in Cedar Park on May 31st, with 24 attending in person or virtually. Guest speakers included the founder of Jolloway Leadership, the CEO of Center for Public Safety Excellence, researchers from University of Texas Fire Research Group, and your own Tim Rutland from the Texas Commission of Fire Protection. The meeting was followed by a three-day training workshop called Quality Improvement Through Accreditation, which was sold out as it was the only one held in Texas for the year. There are currently 10 accredited fire departments in Texas, including 7 municipal departments and 3 DOD departments. El Paso Fire Department is due up to renew their accreditation later this month at Fire Rescue International in Charlotte, and a few others are scheduled to become first-time accredited agencies next year. Two major efforts the Texas Center for Public Safety Excellence Consortium has underway is creating a network for data sharing and subject matter experts. We will have a virtual meeting by the end of the year at a date to be determined. I'm willing to take any questions regarding the accreditation process or the consortium.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. State Fire Marshal's Office. All right, item 5.
Discussion and possible action concerning reports by the Commission representative to the Texas Fire School Advisory Board and by representatives of the Texas Engineering Extension Service regarding fire protection training provided by TEKS through its Emergency Services Training Institute.
Good morning, Mr. President, Commissioners. Juan Gloria McCallum, Fire Department, Training Deputy Chief. The report that I have today follows up after our last meeting in which I reported that all the planning had already been taking place for the three schools that take place in July at College Station. So currently this week, as we speak, we have the Spanish school going on, International Fire School, started on Monday through this Friday. Currently we have 428 students from 18 different countries. And all the students being trained are ranging between the ages of 19 and 65. So that gives you an idea of the type of firefighters that are coming over from different parts of the world. All of this is being done by 164 guest instructors, and of course we couldn't do it without the TICS staff that are always there to help us out. It is important to mention that Spanish school is going through some challenges, some of which are out of our hands, economy, issues with the visas and so on, but rest assured that we're looking into see anything that we can do to make the classes more tangible and fruitful for them, make it worth coming all the way over here and overcoming any challenges that they may have. So other than that, the school is moving forward and everything's going well. Next week, starting Monday, we're going to initiate industrial fire school, for which so far we have pre-registered just over 600 students. That is just pre-registration, so we're expecting to get a lot more students coming over. And the week right after that, third week of July, so far for municipal fire school, we have a pre-registration of just over 1,300 students. So all of that is looking very well, and all gears are turning, and all cylinders are firing up right now with TEKS to make sure that we're ready to receive and provide valuable training to them. That's basically it in regards to the three fire schools that are happening this month. Switching gears real quick, or actually before I switch gears, do you have any questions about the fire schools going on?
Sounds good.
All right, if no questions about the schools, just real quick, switching gears, an important message that we want to send out is that after the West incident, a training program that you may already be aware of was developed, EMBER program, which is Industrial Emergencies for Municipal-Based Responders. And this program is being funded by an AFG grant, which is available not just for Texas firefighters, but all over the country. And so it is very important that we take advantage of that training. We can get more information through the TICS website to where we can find out the way in which they can apply and so on. Everything is covered from travel, tuition, per diems, everything. What we want is for responders, municipal-based responders, to be trained. We basically have a spin-off of more hazardous materials. Once again, this derived from the incident that we had in West. You know, we want to make sure the municipal firefighters have a higher awareness about the hazards that they may have within their communities that are more industrial oriented. And so that program is composed of two different parts. Part one is a four-hour online program, followed by a 16-hour face-to-face conventional type training that takes place at the fire field that culminates with some live fire training and so on. So a very good asset that we have in that opportunity, everything covered by the AFG grant, so it is worth looking into it. And the final comment that I have is that we still have certain areas within the state that don't know who their TEKS regional manager is, and if anybody in your area don't know who that person is, please call Chief Harvey Shashar at TEKS, and we'll make sure that a meeting is arranged to, you know, get to meet him, meet that individual, and make sure that we provide all the resources, and we were able to reach out to all areas in Texas. So those are some of the highlights, and I'm available for any questions if you may have any. No questions?
Questions?
Yes, sir.
No.
Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate
Thanks.
It. Have a good one.
Item six.
Discussion and possible action regarding report from Commission Representative to the Homeland Security Council.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Was July 7th, I attended the Homeland Security Council meeting. If you're not familiar, Homeland Security Council is a legislative required council that meets quarterly, and they're required to meet quarterly. And this is our third quarter meeting in which we received presentations. We meet at DPS, the Criminal Law Enforcement Building Auditorium. We had three presentations, one by Chuck Finney with DPS Emergency Management about the 2017 Hurricane Charlie exercise that just completed in June. It was a South Texas exercise that had reaching throughout the entire state related to embarking of hubs and shelters and testing of ETN, which is Emergency Tracking Network, that DPS and Emergency Management re-bringing up again, if you will, because there were some issues with equipment that they tried to do 3 or 4 years ago. So now testing that again, they did find some faults in the ETN, emergency tracking network of buses, equipment, and resources in the state. And I think the exercise, according to Mr. Finney, it worked well, but they did find some processes that they could make better. Paul Hanneman also presented from the Texas A&M Forest Service related to incident management teams. And then George Reeves from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. He's a Department of Homeland Security cybersecurity advisor based in Houston. Provided DHS cybersecurity assistance available in critical infrastructure owners, operators, state and local, tribal, different agencies. DHS offers several tools related to cybersecurity that is free from DHS for major infrastructure type inspections, advisory type capacity that DHS can provide for free for major entities that have significant or sophisticated IT infrastructure. So this is something that they provide security as well too. Discussion items were completion of the 2017 THIRA, which is the Threat and Hazard Identification Risk Assessment, and the SPR, which is State Preparedness Report. And we're required to do a State Preparedness Report every year. The entire state of Texas is. Our agency, the Commission on Fire Protection, has a section of the State Preparedness Report that we complete with Tim's work and staff, that we have to report every November actions that we've taken, and then preparedness actions that we will take in the future to help protect and make sure our agency is safe, and the rules and things that we implement are within the scope of the SPR, State Preparedness Report. With that, end of report. Any questions?
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Gonzalez. Item 7.
New matters from the commission staff or public which may be discussed in future commission meetings.
Anything from the commissioners? Anything from staff?
Nothing additional this time.
Audience? Okay. Item number 8.
Discussion and possible action on future meeting dates.
What do we have at this point?
October 26th is the next scheduled commission meeting. That will be a 10 a.m. start time. Anybody have any discussion points on that?
I'm assuming we haven't, at this point, we haven't set meetings for 2018 yet, correct? Okay. So we can't yet.
Do that in October? Okay.
26
at 10 a.m.
All right.
If there's any interest in y'all appearing by video conference, if you want to try that out, just let us know.
Attending by video conference?
Is that allowable now?
Yep.
Wow, we can make this room empty. Sorry, that slipped right out. Wrong voice.
Okay. Item number 10.
Nine. You're okay.
Go ahead.
Discussion and possible action on request from Danny McLaren, College of Mainland, regarding Title 37 TAC, Chapter 439, examinations for certification.
Mr. Chairman, I had a quick, I corresponded with Mr. McLaren yesterday. He has found a way to work with what he's got, and so he's withdrawn his request for this proposal.
Okay. Item 10.
Discussion and possible action regarding proposed amendments to Title 37 TAC, Chapter 437, fees.
Again, Mr. Chairman, this one is in here based in the event that you wanted to do anything today on this.
Okay. We had this discussion in the workshop yesterday. At this point in time, I would like to entertain a motion to table until we get further information.
So moved. Second.
Motion, Commissioner Anderson, seconded Commissioner McMakin, to table this until after the end of the fiscal year and we gather more information. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number 11.
Discussion of possible final adoption of proposed amendments to Title 37 TAC, Chapter 429, Fire Inspector.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, if I could, right quick, before they come up to present their information, just to let you know what you have in your binders here. What you have first, the first few pages, is what you proposed in the last meeting, those first few pages. You'll see about the third or fourth page in, you'll then see a second submission here that are the recommendations from the advisory committee showing the changes from your proposed rules. So we have two separate documents working there, just so that you can see them as separate documents.
Okay. I have a representative of the advisory committee.
Good morning. Mike Wisco, advisory committee, standing in for Chairman Reedy, who's sitting on I-35. I don't think that was an accident either. So. Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, we spent a great deal of time reviewing this at our last meeting, and we had several of the chiefs present at our meeting who had initiated this discussion in the beginning. Their original intent, and they restated it at our meeting, was that they were looking for something to make it a little less of a burden to have company level inspectors help them with their fire inspections in their community. Obviously they were looking for something of only the inspector one level. It's a lot of discussion, a lot of review of the NFPA standards, some detailed research and discussion about exactly what the standard says and what each level of inspector is able to do. We put together collectively the proposal you see in front of you, which would be to essentially maintain the current inspector certification that is in place and as was recommended by Inspector Ad Hoc Committee a couple years ago, and to create a company level inspector, which is the Inspector 1 certification. The caveat to that, and I can explain this too, the caveat is that company level personnel are already certified firefighters. We would want somebody doing inspections at that level to have at least 3 years. So we added the requirement of being a certified fire officer, either Fire Officer 1 or 2, which brings about a minimum of 3 years, because the prereq for fire officer is to have your instructor, which has a 3-year experience level attached to that. There was a lot of discussion about this, a lot of back and forth with the staff as well as with Chief Malinger, Chief Stevens, two of the ones who originally stood before you guys and asked for this. At the end of the day, we felt we had produced a reasonable solution. With that said, that's our proposal, and I don't know that this is any kind of battle. We reviewed what was put to us and offered an alternative, and that's it in a nutshell. Be happy to answer questions.
Okay. Commissioners, I don't know if you've had time to review this or not, but there are significant changes to the original proposal that we approved for publication. I want to open up discussion.
Mr. Chair, there may be some more folks from the audience.
Do we have anyone from the audience that would like to speak on this?
Good morning, Commissioner. Scott Kerwood, Fire Chief, Hutto Fire. Thank you for the work that you do, and I want to thank the advisory committee for the work that they did in looking at this. I was not at that meeting with Chief Stevens and Chief Malinger, and so, but I have been in touch with James just to get the feedback. He kept me apprised through the meeting as to what was going on. I do appreciate the work that the advisory committee has done. I've got some concerns with it, though, that they are asking for on a voluntary certification for another voluntary certification on top of that. I can understand the 3 years, and I have no problem with the time period, but to say another certification to get that time period is where I do have some heartburn. I know that you guys have worked on this. Goodness, we're 18, 24 months into this, and it just seems to go on and on to a point that now I'm questioning whether it was even worth it coming to you guys to go forward with this. We were trying to solve or get help from you to solve an issue at a local level to allow us to do more inspections out in our community. And what we seem to have done is special interest groups have kind of clouded the situation to a point where we're at today. My proposal to you is that if this is what's coming forward to you and that you are going to require another voluntary certification on top of this, leave everything exactly as it is. Scrap this whole program and just leave the certifications as they are. We'll work around it. We always have. But I think what we're doing is we're creating issues at the local level that the more with what we have here than what was there before. Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Danny Kistner. I'm the Fire Chief for the McKinney Fire Department. I don't really have anything to add other than what Chief Kerwood just mentioned. I think that's adding the fire officer one or two would be adding an additional undue burden, which is counterproductive to what the original recommendation was. So I just want to go on record as I'm opposed to the proposal by the Fire Advisory Board, and I'm in favor of what was presented to them to kind of look at originally. So thank you.
I'm Randy Freisinger, formerly the Deputy Chief of Fire Prevention, City of Grapevine, Texas. Prior to that, I was the Assistant Chief of Fire Prevention at DFW International Airport, retired from both of those after 41 years of service. So I'm acting as a representative of myself and my participation in the original ad hoc working group that developed the current curriculum for inspector to identify what a basic inspector in Texas is. And one of the feedbacks that we took away in that working group in 2004 was, what does an inspector do in Texas in 2004? I think what is proposed to go to and follow the NFPA standard, the original draft curriculum was written as individual components: Inspector 1, Inspector 2, Inspector 3, Plans Examiner 1, and Plans Examiner 2. The curriculum is already broken out that way. The challenge before you, and you already know it, is what does an inspector, Inspector 1, have to do, and what can they not do? And the challenge before you is there's some proposals of what to add additional certifications. I'm in favor of not adding those additional certifications at this time, but let the instructors, let the program where we teach inspectors to do what they need to do, we raise the benchmark of those instructors to a higher quality so that what's being produced has more and better knowledge. One of the comments I heard that I listened to the audio portion of the Fire Advisory Board, and I do not recall who made this comment, but it said that codes were not taught in the curriculum. I beg to differ with you. If you are following the curriculum that you have approved and is in place already, codes have to be taught because you cannot pass skills without it. If you're not getting code, you are not getting the skills. Now, with that being said, my final statement is that we have a good program. It seems to be working. When we implemented in 2004 and started this program that we have now been working on for a long time and continually address different issues, as Tim well knows, the challenge for y'all is to, is it working adequately to address the needs of the fire service for fire and life safety in Texas? Thank you.
Any other discussion?
Can we ask questions of the Firefighter Advisory Committee's proposed draft?
Yes, sir.
This one I can. Hi, Chief. Thank you, sir, for coming back.
Yeah.
I listened to the tape as well. I want to first say I agree with the sentiments of the work that y'all did. I know that's a tough predicament you were in on this. One of the questions I had related to the draft was, and it was talked about in your meeting, but I never heard an answer. If you went Inspector 1, or we go with company level officer, whichever way you want to call it right now, there was discussion about, will the inspector be allowed to certify, and I listed examples because we sign them every day in our office, assisted livings, hospitals, Texas State Health stuff. There's single occupancies allowed in Inspector 1 criteria, and someone brought it up in the meeting, but I never heard anybody say, was the intent of this document to allow that?
Well, that's a good question, and there was probably the majority of our discussion centered around what an Inspector 1 can do. What we left it at in here is that the inspector, the company level inspector, if that's allowed, would work under the supervision of a fire inspector, and it would be up to each jurisdiction to determine and qualify what they can and can't do under that supervision. So it doesn't answer your question. It puts it back on the locals to determine what is acceptable in their jurisdiction to be handled at this level. And it almost seemed too hard to answer that, and honestly, myself, I'll only speak for myself, I don't think that's our role at this level to tell the locals specifics like that.
So that's some of the discussion I listened to, and that's the trouble I'm having with everybody saying, okay, we need to use Inspector 1 or calling it company officer to be Inspector 1, is there's some arbitrary information in there that makes it very confusing because, for example, I'm not going to go into the Oakland fire other than to say I believe that was a single occupancy use. Mm-hmm. So that would have been a company level officer inspector. And the other number that was discussed in the meeting was 90% of the occupancies are single occupancies. That's not what we're seeing today in the construction world. I would say that number is way different.
I would agree.
One question I had also was, when you have Inspector 1, Inspector 2, was there I didn't hear any discussion of, for example, Inspector 1 says 4.39, compare a set of plans of fire protection systems. But the problem is when you get to Inspector 2, you're supposed to be able to interpret plans. So it's another flaw in the system that I think is a struggle for me, and I think y'all struggle with the same thing. And so when you go back to what Mr. Freisinger said and some of these other things, I think there was a lot of thought and a lot of things discussed. And chair of the curriculum committee, Pat McAuliffe, testified and said, we are lessening our standards, and he's been on there a long time. So my struggle with this is I've got two examples listed out where the two sections conflict. So I think with the proposed documentation shown here, I don't think it answers all those questions. I think for me, I'm not trying to muddy the water. I'm just trying to understand when I listen to the tape and I look at what we proposed. The challenge is we look at this from a statewide level, not just Frisco, Texas, or Galveston, or all these other municipalities. And so when you go teach other municipalities, you find company officers are the frontline inspectors in small departments.
Yes.
And so that's where I'm struggling with this. One other question I had is, the intent in here written about Fire Inspector 1 that says you have to be a firefighter. I'm struggling with that one a lot. I think I know what the intent was with your discussion. Is the intent of the Firefighter Advisory Committee to prohibit a fire marshal's office to hire somebody to do fire inspections but not be a certified firefighter if they're a Fire Inspector 1, 2, and plans examiner to be state licensed?
I think I'll make the best stab at this I can at being politically correct. And I might have to put on my Galveston Fire Chief hat and wear both of them sideways for a minute. But the current inspector certification is what it is. And I agree with Pat McAuliffe that anything less is lessening that. I also agree that there's a lot going on in the United States today that is challenging the integrity of fire inspectors all over the United States, including here in Texas. I think we struggled as a committee to meet the needs of some local chiefs who are asking for another level or something for their firefighters to do to help out. But do we really want just anybody off the street being an Inspector 1 and being able to inspect in this huge gray area with no knowledge of the fire service? And that's what we were trying to achieve here. Quite frankly, we're happy with it just the way it's written. If the desire is to have something for fire companies to help cities out and accomplish more inspections, which is being done in many cities right now with the current standard, that's what we try to develop here without watering down what we have in place. Our intent, and you see that in subchapter B, keep what we have. We're simply providing an alternative for those departments that want to have company-level inspectors that do something on a modified scale to their desire. I don't know if I answered your question or not. I don't.
No, it's a loaded one.
So, I mean,
I got a lot of other loaded ones, but I guess my struggle is we all don't like unfunded mandates, but I heard several meetings that we've all said some inspections are better than nothing, and I'm here to tell y'all that's not acceptable in our industry. It shouldn't be an acceptable opinion. I heard it in this room. I heard it in the firefighter advisory tapes. If that's the way it is, then someone needs to go tell me when there's a lost citizen or a lost relative how that's acceptable, that I caught 10 things and I missed one and that was the one that got them. Someone needs to explain to me how that's acceptable in our industry. That's not the level of service that we expect. There's a lot of states, and I've gotten a lot of phone calls nationally that have said, we look at Texas as the best. We do it right because of this group of people and this staff and the people who donate their time. And so for me, I can't sleep at night knowing I did a half job in my job every day to the citizens in Texas. And that's my struggle with all this is I'm still not trying to cause problems, but this still is not right. I know what your intent was, but I'm telling you, I heard conversations in the meetings about checking boxes. Well, you know what? Inspections are not checking boxes. It's thinking. Thinking to make decisions, just like you do on a fire ground, just like you do in a hazmat incident, just like you do an investigation. So for me, it's hard for me to support this, but it shouldn't be acceptable to this commission to say we're only doing some inspections because we don't like unfunded mandates, but yet we're going to go tell people this is our way of getting people doing inspections. Our levels of government set the criteria of what the minimum level of fire protection is in our communities, not this commission. The same people who don't want to be micromanaged and unfunded mandates, I heard the same people say, well, let's get to some people there. To To me, that's not acceptable. And if it is for this commission and I get outvoted, that's fine. But I'm going on the record to say, if we're missing stuff, we need to fix it. Period. End of story. And some of the discussion back and forth, there was a person who discussed that was a fire inspector that didn't even quote the right fire codes that were 15 years ago talked about in their meeting about master fire inspector. And that's with the current stuff we got now. So I have a lot of concerns about this. My recommendation is going to be to vote no for both and leave it alone. But I did compromise in my letter saying Inspector 1 and Inspector 2 are a reasonable thing.
Correct.
Because they intertwine together to teach people the minimum knowledge of what things are. And it's not comfortable for me to say, you know what, a fire inspector 1 or a company officer can go sign a state license every year that we do day in, day out, and we have to take the responsibilities of that agency that we've done that. To me, that is an unfunded mandate that we still do and we have to do. But this right here muddies the water even more about that. So for me, I'm not supporting it. I certainly hope that our level of expectations in this industry is to provide the best level of service, and that includes inspections, because inspections save lives of the citizens and firefighters. I think people are forgetting this is a citizen thing too, not just a firefighter thing. That's all I have on my questions. Thank you.
And I will follow that up as the, I guess, the tenured member of our committee. We have always accepted and agreed with what was presented by the inspector ad hoc groups, and that is over the 23 years I've been on this committee. And this is outside of what the most recent ad hoc committee recommended. I agree with what you're saying. Our struggle was to find a compromise, and that's what we presented.
Okay. Any other discussion, Mike?
Yes, sir. And I agree. You know, I've said it all along. It's the when you go out there doing inspection, as I've newly been removed, made training captain on 8 to 5 now, but newly off the truck, and with Chairman Reedy from the Firefighter Advisory and Toll, you know, when you're out there and you're doing inspections, like Commissioner Gillette said, it's on you, and it's on you to make that decision to think through, is this acceptable, is it not, and do the reports and for the citizens. And we've struggled with this for a while, and I do agree with Chief Kerwood. Fire departments adapt, and we've seen that from big cities like Fort Worth to small ones like Burleson to make our citizens safer. And I think there's so many different avenues now to get the training that if we have ad hoc committees and firefighter advisory committees, and I mean, if we're not going to take the what they tell us that, you know, what we already have in place is acceptable and works, then why do we have these committees? If we have people that are in place to help advise us on things, then and we do something different. I mean, I respect the fact that they're trying to help cities to get out there and do more inspections, but this has been in place for a while, and cities have adapted and overcome. So I agree with Commissioner Gillette. As it is written, I can't accept it. So, you know, we got a letter from Commissioner Toll. For me, it's going to be either leave it as it is or take recommendations from the Firefighter Advisory Committee, just looking after our citizens and the men and women that are out on the trucks having to do these.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let me just recap. You know, this was brought to us by several fire chiefs from around the state, that they saw a concern. Their concern was that there wasn't enough people out there. They didn't have enough people doing inspections, so there was many, many occupancies that were not being inspected at all. Okay, that was the initial crux of this and concern that was brought forward. As a commission, then it's our responsibility to take a look at that and see what we can do to support the fire service of the state of Texas, which includes the chiefs that brought this forward, and create a situation where these buildings that aren't being inspected can be inspected. Makes it easier for the fire service to go out and do those inspections. So we created the ad hoc committee to take a look at this. They brought forward their recommendations, which we voted on last meeting for public and put it out for publication. And then it was sent to the advisory committee for them to take a look at and bring their recommendations. I personally feel that the advisory committee's recommendations are making it so strict that we're not going to meet the intent of the original request by adding the officer certifications and the additional certifications and stuff that's required. We have, as I said, we have voted already at one point in time to put it out for publication. I think that, in my opinion, we need to move forward with this. NFPA standards state that this, you know, you can have firefighter one or fire inspector one, fire inspector two. You can break it out in different categories. And our certification, you have to have all three to be able to be certified, which puts a burden on fire departments across this state to be able to get the number of inspectors that's needed. That's all I'm going to say on that issue.
I have a question.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes, I have a question for clarification to Commissioner Gillette. If I understand you correctly, you're saying that there's not enough training or that Fire Inspector 1 is not enough schooling in order to go out and do inspections. Is that correct? The criteria spelled out in NFPA 1031 is not clear because NFPA and the International Code Council don't play good in the sandbox.
Mm-hmm.
And I can go spin a lot of these single occupancy discussions into a hospital, into an assisted living that doesn't have a cafeteria. I can go a hazmat occupancy with that. I can go into high-piled storage into that. I can go on and on and on that there are certain occupancies that the intent of that was there. But when you go into the international codes that most municipalities adopt, it's a conflict. If it's a three-story office building with an assembly room, they can't inspect it by NFPA 1. There are state licensing things that conflict right now to make this far more conducive that it's not adequate in the state of Texas to do this. And that's my argument. It's still my argument. The curriculum people have said it. They wrote the curriculum back a long time ago. That's my struggle with the whole thing. If they would play great in the sandbox and we could come up with a solution that worked, I'm okay with it. But I'm a guy who has a degree in this stuff and still has to pull out the book on how to go back and look at a single warehouse with ESFR Group A plastics to 30 feet high. Inspector 1 can do that by this document. And that I have a problem with.
Today, if there's a individual that is working in the fire marshal's office or fire inspector office or whatever that has their inspector one, are they doing these inspections now?
Right now, they're inspector one. You can't do that. You have to have inspector one, two, and plans examiner by the existing curriculum that's currently in place and has been in place since 2004.
Right, but I'm just saying, they can't do any inspections.
Mm-mm.
Nope. Okay.
But they can't because of our curriculum, our rules.
Correct. And the statute.
Let's be clear. Yeah.
And the statute.
Well, the statute just basically states they have to follow our rules. It's not the statute.
I can recap on that, but let me, if you will. We talked about recapping, but let me recap further. In 2009, the
81st legislature created 419-909 fire safety inspections. And this is further recap in history that says that only an individual certified by the commission as a fire inspector may conduct a fire safety inspection required by state or local law, rule, regulation, or ordinance. We had major issues during that time period in which we had to have the executive director write an opinion related to company inspections. And we did write that opinion and posted it to our website because of the problems that the statute created for some of our municipalities and counties and agencies across the state. Because of a statute change, and the intent of the statute was clearly fire inspector in the language of the statute that was passed and took effect September 1st of 2009, we had to take measures to assure that companies could still go out and do surveys. And I think that's the term we used, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong.
That's it.
And what I'm trying to determine is where that opinion, as it went across multiple stakeholder groups and was advertised and went to different conferences that we had and was given out across the state, and now in 2010-11 is when we had to come up with that official opinion from our executive director. Why are we back to this level now to where we're wanting to not turn it over to the fire marshal's office? Are we not wanting to conduct surveys? Are we wanting our captains to issue citations on the field? I'm still lost at that. Why not change your ordinance to not require an inspection? Because you only have to follow the fire safety inspection rule if your local law, rule, regulation, or ordinance requires it. That's in your ordinance as well. That's in the opinion that the executive director wrote at the time. I think everyone knows my opinion on this, and it comes back to the original language that was proposed and sent to publication. I voted against it because I can't support Inspector 1 only. I would support the original language with Inspector 1 and 2 as the required curriculum without plans exempt. And I've said that from the last 12 months. Thank you.
Morning, Commissioners. Sorry I was a little late, but I'm Jim Reedy. I'm here on behalf of the Texas State Association of Firefighters to speak on this particular issue. The labor group was represented in the ad hoc committee, but the State Firefighters Association would like to keep the same language that's been in effect. It does not seem to be a stretch if the will is there to get the current certification that's available. There's 4,700 inspectors in the state of Texas. So it's more a function, I think, of the will of the municipality to spend the money or allot the time or whatever's needed to get that. The city of Fort Worth did all their officers. So the ability is there if the will is there. I get the part about the money. Chief Malinger came to the committee originally, and it was about backfilling overtime. That was the first time that this came up, was about backfilling overtime. And I understand that. But I'm a line officer. I'm the person that's going to have to administer this and institute this. And I will tell you that it causes problems for the line officer, notwithstanding the experience factor. You're going to send people into a building to inspect it and accept the liability for that inspection with one-third of the education that our inspectors currently get. I talked to a large municipality yesterday, the fire marshal, in a large municipality, and even our certification, he still makes his inspectors go and ride out in shadow for 6 months to get the needed experience. I keep hearing about how this is going to make us safer. I almost would tell you that I think it'll be more of a false sense of security having an inspection that is done with a lesser amount of education, a lesser amount of experience. In the fatality fire in San Antonio, the recent one, the building had been inspected, but the pre-plan was not up to date. If you want to protect our firefighters and make them safer, let us go into the buildings and do surveys and do pre-plans. And then if we have the ability to spot something, then we can pass that on to the fire marshal, the fire inspector, the fire prevention person, just like we do now, all over this entire state. I just got to tell you, and the other thing is now you're talking about the consistency of the inspection. If the fire company goes into a building and they're still on duty, there's going to be no consistency in that inspection, both for the business owner and for the person that's doing the inspection. You'll go, you'll come back. You'll go, you'll come back. That puts us at odds with the citizen. The fire inspector does a focused, specific inspection, and that time is dedicated to that business owner. The fire company does not do that. They do not do a focused inspection. They do an inspection as they're on duty, so they go back and forth. I don't believe that this is going to help us and make us any safer. I would ask you to and like Chief Wisco said, we were charged on firefighter advisory to take the lesser of two evils, for lack of a better term. But the statute that we have in place was created after the curriculum was already in place, the 1-2 and plans examiner. So the maker of the statute saw that that system was in place and that curriculum was in place and then created the statute in that fashion. So I think that that's probably what they wanted to keep. And on behalf of the Texas State Association of Firefighters and the 13,000 or so members, I believe, and this is the line members, the people on the fire trucks, I believe that we should leave the system the way it is right now. Thank you. Questions?
Jim, has there been any discussion about, with when we talk about 1031, any discussion about Inspector 3 and adding Plans Examiner 2 into the process from a Firefighter Advisory Committee point of view?
No, and when it was talked about before, there was some discussion about Plans Examiner, and I will tell you that I don't know a lot about the actual Plans Examiner. I hear it's pretty tough, but 4,700 people managed to pass it, so it couldn't be that tough. But Inspector 1 and Inspector 2 for a company officer would at least give them the education and the level and the curriculum level to do most of that on-site in-field inspection. That would be my opinion. So,
have we ever changed or lessened Firefighter 1 standards for a Texas firefighter from Firefighter 1 and 2 and HAZOP awareness compared to this? Have anybody ever come up with that before?
No, and I heard the point before about us being a leader in the country. I had somebody tell me, well, they do it this way, this place, they do it this way. You know what? As Texans, we're better than everybody else. And I don't mind being better than everybody else. I'm proud of being better than everybody else. This commission is one of the best organizations for firefighter safety and curriculum in the entire country. Why should we move backwards?
Thank you.
So we actually, in your response to firefighter, we actually did reverse to strengthen it. We're now, remember, used to you had to make a 70 overall. Now you have to pass all four of your subscales. Firefighter 1, Firefighter 2 has my awareness and has my ops.
I think my fear is if we take this assumption of why we needed this certification, I could go back and chop up firefighter, hazmat, other ones that have multiple facets required by NFPA that we strengthened and exceeded those minimum standards to adopt. And that's my point. My point is, we've got, and I said in my first letter from the first time we started this, we still haven't addressed Inspector 3 and Plans Examiner 2. So if we're talking about 1031 and we want to be right about it, we need to look at the whole thing and not pick what we like. And that's my frustration with some of this is the same people that say we don't want to be told what to do in our municipalities are coming back saying, well, that's the only way we can get inspections done in our city. I don't understand that. So thank you for answering my questions.
Any further discussion? Anything from the audience?
Just for clarification, I would like to make a comment as the fire chief of Galveston, and that is that the current standard prior to what was published for review and sent to the advisory committee, the current standard in place is what we do in Texas. And as Commissioner Gonzalez pointed out, when the issue became surveys and how that could be done, we adapted in Galveston and we live on the edge, albeit the edge of the state. We live on the edge. We adapted, and we sent over 15 line firefighters to become inspectors to the current standard. Chief Kerwood is right. We adapt. But at no time in the city of Galveston while I'm there will it ever be acceptable for it to be easy to enforce life safety. And I would stand here as a fire chief and a 30-year firefighter in Texas and ask you not to make it easy to do. And that's my public comment.
Thank you, Chief.
Commissioner Jones.
That being said, you know, I feel like I was put on this commission for the safety of the citizens of Texas, the safety of all firefighters that are regulated by the commission in Texas. So if I can, I make a motion that we leave it in the current standard that is in place as it was written in the statute. And like Reedy said, it was when the statute was written after the curriculum. If we're able to do that at this point, then I'll make a motion. We just leave it as it is.
Okay, we have a motion to keep the certification as is, which would be Inspector 1, 2, and Plans Examiner to receive a certification from Texas Commission.
Give a second.
We have a motion, Commissioner Jones, a second by Commissioner Carson.
Yes, sir.
Any further discussion? Commissioner Ekus.
I just want to make one comment based on an observation. Actually, the observation's been going on for months because Commissioner Gonzalez is right. This horse is just about hairless. It is. But if I recall correctly, the major discussion or the point of discussion when this was brought to our attention was that where difficulty lied was in the additional time it took to incorporate Plans Examiner into the training. In fact, there were many fire chiefs that stood at that very podium and said, you know, my people, I was one of them, said, you know, my folks that are doing company level inspectors or inspections in the field, they don't need to have that because they're not doing certificate of occupancies and things like that. And I certainly would agree with that. There was rebuttal. There was a statement that, you know, well, in fact, we do need that. And I would challenge us to consider, if we have people that are on engine companies doing pre-fire plan, building construction, and the knowledge of being able to read the plans, I think pretty important. In other words, I really want to know as an incident commander that I'm dealing with a party wall or a truss roof or a parapet or a false facade, any of that, which should be pointed out in the pre-fire plan. So that too is debatable. Here's where I caution my fellow commissioners, and you know, you're hearing from a chief who did the same thing. He sent his company officers to inspector school. I've got a full caveat. You know, I never have less than two inspectors on duty, and we can get it done. We've overcome and we've adapted. But what I've witnessed through this process is when some people say a watering down, I've seen the comments watered down. And I don't know that I'm for it or against it. I really don't. You know, I'm all in favor of leaving it the way it is, or I'm in favor of tuning it a little bit if necessary. But I challenge us to remember what is brought to us as a problem and to stay focused on the words that were used by those that brought that forward. And not, in our discussion, turn it around for personal beliefs or political reasoning or whatever. I do think that is our number one goal, besides firefighter safety. I mean, that's why we exist, and the safety of our citizens. So I hate seeing that. I just hate seeing it turned around. It was kind of aggravating for me. I too listened to the tape. And, you know, in several comments, I just shook my head and thought, wow, that's not at all where we were headed with this. And yet it was a major point of discussion. So I challenge you. Thank you for hearing me out, but stay focused on what the charge is.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor to maintain the current certification process that we have in place for inspector, and a second. Any further discussion?
Let me confer just for a second. So for our purposes right now, the proposal is to repeal the chapter and replace it with the proposed stuff. Does that motion?
No, it would just mean this doesn't pass.
Yeah.
And everything, the repeal would not occur.
Do we need to provide clarity in the motion then? Is that what you're saying, Tim?
I just wanted to make sure you didn't need to. That was okay. What I was asking.
Yeah, I think if you keep it as is, that means this doesn't pass. You don't need to.
Right.
Okay.
May I have one question? And that's for counsel. When you have a chance, can you look at 419.022B?
022.
And I think one thing that I have a little bit of a heartache is the standard that we had in 91. Which one was it? Was it the fire inspector 2 level?
In 91?
Yeah, because we have a mandate. We cannot lessen anything that was in place back then.
I'd have to look at it. I don't know what we had in effect in 91.
Pat McCullough's not here, and he could have answered that question.
Yeah, I don't know what we had in 91, so I can't answer that.
Yeah, well, I know it's 200 and something hours that we took.
Were you then. Even born in 91? I mean that respectfully.
I don't know what that has to do with anything.
For the record, I was 7 years old.
You know I love you. You know I love you.
That's impressive. That was good. That really was good.
All right.
So that was my one something I was going to bring up.
Of course, this is the introduction of a brand new certification is what it is. So you're not impacting an existing certification. You're actually offering a brand new one with this with your proposed language.
But I understand, but it could very well be argued that we are.
Well, I don't know, because I'm about to ask this question. The original proposal that was sent for publication, we already had a fire inspector one. No. What I'm saying, though, is to me, I don't think that's new, is
it? You've never had a fire inspector one.
Okay. So, in other words, that would be designed, even though it was part of a requirement of the current standard, that's still what you would consider new.
Yes.
Okay.
But that's what I want to verify.
Simply yes. Tim Rutland's opinion.
That would be. But if we vote in the affirmative on this motion, it's already been, it's out for publication. That would just go away. Is that correct? So no issues there.
Okay.
And basically everything we had yesterday continues today and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Are we ready for a vote?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Call question.
Question.
Okay. The motion is we maintain the current inspector certification process that we have now. Inspector 1, 2, and plans examiners to be a certified as an inspector in the state of Texas.
There you go.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? I'm opposed. Motion carries. Okay.
Wait, 12A2 that we're at?
12.
Is it A2?
A1.
A1. Sorry. Let me go backwards.
There you go.
12A1, discussion of possible action regarding proposed amendments to Title 37 TAC, Chapter 425, Fire Service Instructors. I knew something didn't look right. I scrolled past it. It's too easy on this thing.
So much excitement, I got to catch my breath.
Let's see here. I'm flipping.
Did you park on 35 and walk? Or?
I'm telling you, the traffic was... I don't even want to say it on the record, but I'm sure we can all think about what it was. I got to tell you, I'm just going to start leaving like the day before driving up here soon. 12A1. Okay, here I am. Well, these are for final adoption, commissioners. They've already been through here once. This takes out some obsolete language and makes some very minor changes in this section. If you want to follow through on page 59, it's clarification and it's just really restating. There's some restatements on the next page. Apparently, we had to put a grammar correction for bachelors on page 61, and that's it. It's just basically cleanup language.
Move for final adoption on proposed amendments, Title 37, Fire Service Instructors.
This is final adoption.
Final adoption.
Final adoption.
Second that.
Is it okay, so we have a motion, Commissioner Gonzalez. Second, Commissioner Gillette, to move for final adoption. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
12A2, discussion and possible action regarding proposed amendments to Title 37 TAC, Chapter 431, fire investigation.
Commissioners, I want to compliment the staff on these preparatory pages that are in the rules now. It makes it a lot easier for me. But the current language requires a person to make application to the commission in order to print an equivalent arson or fire investigator certification. The equivalent certification could be issued electronically but could not be printed until the person had applied and paid for the fee. The new language requires the person to apply and pay the fee in order to be issued the certification. And it's necessary because we're going to start doing online everything.
So move.
We've got a motion by Commissioner McMakin. Do I hear a second?
Anderson.
We have a second by Commissioner Anderson.
No, you got that wrong.
The motion is by Commissioner Anderson.
Commissioner Anderson made the motion.
Oh, okay.
And Commissioner Jones seconded it.
Okay. Did y'all get that?
Got it.
Okay. This is for final adoption. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
12A3, discussion and possible action regarding proposed amendments to Title 37 TAC, Chapter 443, Curriculum Manual.
This one's a little more. This is for final adoption. So you've already seen this once, but this is a little more involved. It's about the process for proposing the curriculum. And some of it is verbiage, but there are some significant changes in here. You'll see on the underline the proposals. We changed from the curricula or changes to the proposal, just a general statement as a proposal. So, and we've had training programs in there. And that's about it. And you will see in 43.9, the NFPA standard, you'll say it adds exist instead of exist. So a lot of this is cleanup language.
Can I ask a question?
Sure. Ask away, sir.
443.9, I guess what I'm trying to figure out is we take out the word for fire protection personnel. Is the intent of that to state that we certify other than fire protection personnel, maybe? Or why are we taking that out?
I'm not
complaining. I'm just trying to understand the logic.
I think we are an all-encompassing commission, and making a general statement about who we do this for is probably a little better.
Okay.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for final adoption. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
12A4, discussion and possible action regarding proposed amendments to Title 37 TAC, Chapter 453, Hazardous Materials.
Well, in this one, Commissioners, we're taking out some language and making some minor changes to reflect new procedures and curriculum. You'll see in number eight at the bottom of the page, we've replaced commission approval with in-state hazardous material training, but it still has to meet the requirements of the applicable NFPA standards, so we've maintained that. On the next page, you'll see meet or exceed instead of equivalent. And we still reference the NFPA standards. Mm-hmm. And then the next subchapter B, it's basically the same. It talks about the NFPA standard, the applicable NFPA standard, and meet or exceed.
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Anderson, seconded by Commissioner Jones.
There you go.
Discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
12A5, discussion, possible action regarding proposed amendments to Title 37 TAC, Chapter 455, minimum standards for wildland fire protection certification.
You know, every time I see wildland on the agenda, I get a little chill. It's been so much fun. So we're just changing the procedures for the curricula, making some minor changes in here. Instead of curriculum, you'll see that we've added training program instead of curriculum on the first page. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion to approve, Commissioner Carson, seconded Commissioner Perez. Discussion. This is for final adoption. Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries.
12B1, discussion possible action regarding proposed amendments to Title 37 TAC, Chapter 423, Fire Suppression.
These are for publication, Commissioners, and this is basically an updating and clarification of what's in the chapter already. Changes some verbiage. And there's nothing, well, I don't want to say there's nothing substantial. Everything's substantial, but it's basically just cleanup language, cleanup and clarification language.
I will add that this is part of our program that we have to do every 4 years. Every agency is required to review all of its rules to determine if the rules need to be changed, amended, deleted, whatever. Y'all are seeing this chapter because of the review that we did. A lot of our chapters, y'all see them on a fairly regular basis anyway, so you're covered there. It's been a while since we've been into this chapter.
One item of note on page 90. There's a little swapping around, but it's about the firefighter seal, the IFSAC seal, and it talks about subject areas required by NFPA 1001. It's stated up in the front, but it's just swapped around.
I move we send this for publication.
Who was it? Okay. Commissioner Anderson makes a motion to move for publication. Do I hear a second?
Second.
For the second, Commissioner Gillette. Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
12B2, discussion, possible action regarding proposed amendments to Title 37 TAC, Chapter 433, Driver Operator.
Commissioners, I would direct you to page 102. And what we're doing is extending the date, the date of this section for retroactivity or I can't think of what the name is. Anyway, we're extending the date that's in place from February 28th to May 18th of the same year. We're giving them six more months or a few more months to get the certification. And this is for publication.
I'm happy to expand on that if you need us to.
Please.
Please do.
Please.
When y'all first voted to publish those rules back in the fall, there was not enough time because of the repealing of the chapter and everything that had to be done to get it on the January agenda. So y'all didn't actually approve this until the April meeting, this past meeting. We had created this rule language anticipating that you would have done it in January. And because it got delayed, people then now had less than a year for this special provision, which we always give them. So we're extending it to reflect a full year from when y'all adopted.
Okay. Motion to publish.
We have a motion by Commissioner Carson.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Perez.
One question, though.
To for publication?
Yeah, one question for Tim, though.
Discussion?
Yes. Tim, if somebody were to take a class right now, and let's say he just got his regular driver operator, he can challenge if the chief signs off on him?
We have to get documentation that individual has met the criteria in the NFPA standards specifically for aerial apparatus. So you can't just have driver and challenge this exam for aerial.
Okay, but let's say he took the class, has been driving the aerial because previously there was no standard to it.
Well, if you look at this, what it is, they would have to provide documentation
right.
that they've either completed a driver-operator aerial training that meets the NFPA standard or provide documentation of proficiency in okay. operation of an aerial apparatus from a department. And that we would expect something from the chief of the department indicating that individual has done that. And again, all this is common practice. It's been common practice yeah. for the commission for many, many years. For this first year, there is no one out there that holds a certification, so there's no one who can teach it. So this allows for that to occur during the first year.
Okay, thank you.
And they still have to pass the test.
Any other discussion?
Yes. Yes.
Question?
Question's been called. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
12C, report from the Curriculum and Testing Committee with discussion and possible action on changes to the reference list for Incident Safety Officer curriculum and the appointment of San Bacum Amarillo Fire Department to the committee.
So, did you want to do Bacum first, or do you want to do the... So anyway, you'll see on the next page, 105, NFPA 1951 was recommended recommended, and now it's going to be required as one of the references for the incident safety officer. And as note, NFPA 1951 is going back to committee, so it'll be another 2 years before that standard's published. So. And Mr. Bacum came very highly recommended from curriculum and testing, has been very active in different parts of the curriculum and testing, and they came with a very high recommendation from Chairman McAuliffe. He's a worker, that's what they said. So.
Do we need to take them in two separate motions?
Yes.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion. Well, the first motion. What?
The recommended.
One is to
reference list of yeah. the incident safety curriculum.
I'll make a motion that we approve the change from the curriculum and testing committee on the changes to the reference list for incident safety officer.
Second.
Okay, motion by Commissioner Gillette, seconded by Commissioner Gonzalez. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries.
Appointment of, let me get the name right.
We have a motion by Commissioner Carson to appoint Mr. Bockham.
Thank you.
To the committee, to the safety officer committee.
Second.
Anderson, seconded.
We have a second by Commissioner Anderson. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Thank you.
Okay, we are at 10:30. Let's take a 10-minute break. Recess for 10 minutes.
Okay, my knee's killing me.
All right, Commissioners, if I could have each of you make sure your mic is on. Okay, I want to go back, if you don't mind. I'd like to go back to number four real quickly. I stated earlier that SFFMA was going to be late. Go back to four and let them. Where did Chief Perry go? There he is.
Commissioners, Chief Moore, thank you all for allowing me to be here representing the State Firefighters and Fire Marshals Association. Just a little recap, just a little abbreviation of what we've done. As y'all know, legislative session really didn't hurt us. We didn't have any bad items on our side that gave us any heartburn. We look like we will might not have anything in the extended session, special session they're fixing to have. We did have our conference in San Marcos in first week in June. It was well attended, and we had good attendance there, and a lot of folks really enjoyed themselves. Is there any questions from y'all back to me? I will say at this time we're working on our certification program again. The CERT program is good. We're working on the computer portion of it, and we're still trying to get it lined out. But other than that, everything's good.
Okay. Any questions? Comment?
Chief Moore, thank you. Commissioner,
thank you, appreciate Chief Perry. Okay, moving forward. Item number 13.
Discussion and possible action on the 2016 data collected regarding firefighter injuries and the development of recommendations to be submitted to the State Fire Marshal's Office for inclusion in its annual report.
I'm going to turn this one over to Mark. Let him open it.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. I'm Mark Routon, Public Information Office. We presented a new draft of the 2016 injury report at the workshop yesterday. The slight increase of the total injuries, we had 4,001 in the previous draft, and we have 4,097 in this draft. Right after the Firefighter Advisory Committee meeting and the Commission meeting where we looked at the previous drafts, Mr. Rutland directed Paul Maldonado to work with his compliance officers to increase the percentage of departments that reported. Previously, on the first draft, we had 90% reporting rate, and in this draft, we have 96%, so we're getting closer to 100%. I think the focus, what we want to focus on today is the recommendations section, what we want to recommend to the fire service in terms of injury reporting. What I heard yesterday at the workshop was two recommendations. One was to encourage and support, encourage departments to continue reporting and to continue reporting exposures, particularly and cancers. And also to work on our outreach efforts to encourage departments to do that. The other recommendation was to, I'm drawing a blank here. We just talked about
establishment of the committee. Is that what you?
No. No. Well.
Anyone?
Recommendation: put together a committee.
Yeah, and I don't know that that's really a recommendation that would fall in this report. Really, the charge at this point today is for y'all to decide what you want to include in the report that goes to the fire marshal's office in terms of your recommendations to the fire service based on what you see here.
Okay. I know that we met on this topic and we had a joint meeting yesterday with the commissioners and some of the advisory board members and just a quick discussion on that. We all are in agreement that we need to take this report and evaluate it, look at it, and help educate fire departments out there on the critical areas that where people are continually getting injured and things like that, and try to be a tool, an education tool for that. With that said, I think that the report is pretty all encompassing and ready to go forward. Any disagreement? Okay.
Do you need that?
You need a recommendation to send it forward? Need that in a motion?
Yes. So moved.
Second. Okay, we have a motion by Chief Ekus.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner McMakin. Any discussion?
Right here.
Sorry. Daniel Buford, Texas State Association of Firefighters. Sorry about my voice gone out. As we talked about it yesterday in the committee workshop, the State Association of Firefighters, we just want to stress to you again the importance of involving or getting cancer put in here to where it's being mandated to report it. The lack of information that we have on cancer in there, it's a false sense of security if you open that report and you look at it. And seeing only 14 cases of cancer that were reported last year in the state of Texas, the cancer is what's killing our firefighters. We have guys that are getting injured. We need to open it up. We need to start getting that information in there so we can start finding out trends here. We can use that with outside agencies, begin to work together to see exactly what we need to do, educating our firefighters across Texas on the importance of prevention, awareness of this. And so having a true report that we can show the data that firefighters in Texas are getting cancer faster and faster and more guys are getting it, having that information to go out there, we'll be able to educate so many more. Just like we discussed yesterday, it's very important. We need to start moving forward with that because at some point in time, we have to start collecting that data. And today's that day we need to start collecting it. Right now, it's voluntary. Here in Texas, it's presumptive. If you get cancer right now on the job, then they're looking at it as it's from the job, unless you fall into one of those gray areas. But just stressing the importance of starting to collect that data for cancer so we can get and find these trends out there and we can make these recommendations to our firefighters and keep firefighters across the state of Texas safe. That's what we're here to do, and that information will allow us to get there. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion on that? Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor.
I'll just ask a question.
Mark, we don't, the data we request, is cancer a mandated report?
No.
So the next question is, can we mandate it to be reported?
The way the rule is written right now is, and what I tell departments when they call and ask, is if you're filing the first report of injury with workers' comp, then we expect to see a report that, and a lot of times those cancers, come up later in the career, and they don't get reported as a first report of injury. So there's kind of a disconnect between what the data that the fire departments have and what they're sending forward to workers' comp.
Would that be? I mean, let me ask this question too. I don't know if we can make people or make that reportable, because that's protected information.
Well, question. If when that occurrence happened, it is, then you said that it was shown as an on-the-job injury. That's what I have there under workers' comp.
Currently, right now, it's not an admission to guilt if somebody says, I got cancer. If a firefighter comes and says, I got cancer, and that department reports it, it's not an admission to guilt to workers' comp that it's getting covered. It's saying that a guy is sick on the job and getting that data. Just like we reported here, if a guy gets cancer, whatever form of it, just reporting it to us, the status, or to the commission, saying we have a guy with cancer on the job, or just cancer.
My question is it reported under workers' compensation? Right now, is that how it is being?
Immediately, when a guy gets cancer, he's going to try to file workers' comp on it, and then it's probably going to get drawn out in the state courts and then district courts from there until they figure out what's going on. But having the reportable asset, just filing for it, is what we're saying.
Okay,
just
I'm not asking a question. I'm not asking my question correctly. Right now, when a person has cancer and is reported to his whoever handles that at the fire department. Is that reported currently to workers' compensation?
They're going to try to report it, yes, sir.
Commissioner Carson.
Does that mean yes or no? Uh-huh.
Commissioner Carson, it depends upon if the person makes a workers' comp claim for the cancer. Yeah. So it is up to the particular employee whether they want to make a workers' comp claim and ask, see if they can get covered by workers' comp for that. My understanding is some firefighters have done that. Other firefighters may not. It's also an issue with timing. Sometimes it may not happen until they're retired, and so it'll pop up on the health insurance, but won't pop up as a workers' comp claim. So some of these things depend upon how the firefighter reacts to it and what triggers they put in the system and when. Okay.
The reason why I was trying to get a clarification on it, because if it is filed under workers' compensation, then our directive is to record or follow any on-the-job injuries. And if it's filed workers' compensation, then it is a on-the-job injury until it's proven different.
Okay. So to follow up on that, is your concern that we're not reporting the workman's comp? Are you wanting more data that shows whether it's workman's comp or not? Cancer is really bigger in the fire service than the numbers are, and it's a non. And I don't know the circumstances for the filing. I'm just trying to make sure I understand, because I know what you're saying. I'm just worried that, and I think we need to try and obtain that data. I'm just trying to figure out how can we get it if it's not filed under workman's comp.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Am I getting what you're looking for?
Just getting the data together where you have, whenever these guys are filling out these report for injury reports, or having a separate form or anything like that, where we send in a very generic of what's going on. If we have a guy who gets this type of cancer, his age, and that's it. And we still follow the HIPAA laws where no information is getting released, but starting that data trend with figuring it out, what's going on, what kind of cancer we're seeing, certain age range, is there something going on in the fire service, what we can do to look at it, and being able to use that resources. Right now, it's voluntary where guys want to, if they want to go ahead and report it. So it's a false sense if any of these members open up that packet and they start looking at it and they see 14 cases of cancer, when Dallas alone had 28 cancer cases right now. So this is stuff that we need to start getting, that because it's not a true representation of what's going on in our state. And so if we can gather that data, we can utilize that information to help follow these trends.
I don't disagree with you. What I'm trying to figure out is I thought we're already doing that. Based on what Mark's saying, if they file a workman's comp, we're recording that number, correct, Mark?
That's the one thing that it's voluntary right now.
The workers' comp claim goes to TDI DWIC. We don't see that information. Mark has a separate data pool. So when a firefighter makes a workers' comp claim for cancer, that goes to DWIC. We're supposed to share that information with DWIC. But Mark's data pool is separate from workers' comp claims, as I understand it.
Our rule says if an injury occurs for which a workers' comp report is filed, this is our rule, that's when a fire department is to report that injury. That is our practice. If a workers' comp claim is filed as a result of an injury, then they're expected to go on FIDO and submit the report to us. Period. That's the criteria.
But we have other departments reporting injuries that are not. In other words, I'll be honest with you, our department, if we have a sprained ankle, we report it, whether or not he went to a doctor or whatever. It was an injury.
And that's fine. We're just saying that is the minimum threshold, if you will.
So I think that, if I may, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair.
Go ahead. You've been talking.
I died once too. But I'm back.
So didn't want to interrupt you in the middle.
Yeah. I think our message really, and you know, we talked about it yesterday, and this is for our audience, is how important this information is. And if we still see departments, and we know in fact that there are departments that have yet to even open that webpage up and to get in there and give us the data. Unfortunately, I think there are a lot of cities that, and some of this, I'll be frank with you, is probably TML's reluctance to come alongside us. And so cities are reluctant for fear that it's an admission that, hey, this happened on the job and we're liable for that. And that's unfortunate. And I do think that this is where this body can make a significant impact, and that is to do everything that we can. And Daniel, as you know, it's right now, the leg to really enforce it, who knows? But this is good information. And what we also talked about yesterday, again for the edification of our audience, is that once this data is collected, well, what are we going to do with it? And how do we push that message out? And do we, the Mark, your second recommendation was, do we take the top three of those and do a public service announcement or whatever? Really, I think that's still in its infant stages, unfortunately, and still working it out. But I agree. I think cancer is the new devil, and it's really not new. We're just now beginning to see the effects of it, and a lot of that's the products that we're burning in today's fires. But we've got to do it, and so I think where we can have an impact right now, moving this forward, I would ask that we consider, if possible, amending the motion that's on the floor to include a statement from the commission to the state fire marshal's office that this is extremely important, that we gather the data on all injuries and specifically focus our next move, if you will, our next phase towards the reoccurring problem of cancer and find ways to reduce that in this industry. So whoever made that motion, if you'd consider that.
Thank you, Commissioner.
I don't know if I made a motion. Did I make a motion?
We have a motion and a second on the floor.
Who made it?
Okay, to forward the report, the current report as it stands, okay, to the state fire marshal's office. Any further discussion on that motion?
Commissioner Chair. I think, piggybacking on what Commissioner Ika said, I think there's so many questions in front of us right now that our effort needs to be one of encouragement into the fire service to get this information back and help educate what's going on. When you haven't washed your bunker gear in a year or whatever, and it's hanging up there, and all the little myriad of things that go on, I think that this first step is one of encouragement to start this ball rolling. And I think Commissioner Ekus's comments were very valid. Okay. Try to get this going, but not get hung up on who's doing what to whom right now. It's going to take encouragement and education to get the information back. And then there's a bunch of it out there that we're not even knowing.
Okay. The current motion is the current report. We can do anything we want to do in it for the future, but this is the current report. So I have a motion and a second on the floor to forward the current injury report. Any further discussion over that? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now let me state just real quickly, we have an injury report. If we want to change that, we can change it. Okay, but there is a difference between an occupational injury and an occupational illness. Okay, we're reporting injuries. There is occupational illnesses, and I understand we do need to gather the information and all of that and try to help educate on that. So motion carries, please send the report forward to the Fire Marshal's office and we'll continue to work it.
Will do. Thank you, Mark.
14. Item 14.
14A, decisions of the Executive Director and contested cases and consent orders.
Commissioners, nothing to report.
Okay.
14B, status of division functions.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, you have the quarterly reports before you there. I'm happy to answer any questions. You'll see different sections listed there. Training, approval and testing, certification, compliance, just the various activities they were involved in. Again, I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions? Okay, item 15.
Executive session pursuant to section 551.074 Texas Government Code for the discussion of personnel matters, appointment, employment, compensation, evaluation, reassignment, duties, discipline, or dismissal of the executive director, and the appointment, employment, reassignment, or duties of personnel acting on an interim basis in this position.
Anybody need to go to executive session?
Golly, I can't sign this.
All right. So, item 16.
Open session for further discussion and possible action regarding preceding agenda item.
No action taken.
Action taken.
No action. 17.
17 adjourned.
So move.
We have a motion. Commissioner McMakin, second.
Second.
We have a second. Commissioner Carson.
Sorry.
Discussion.
I'm glad.
All in favor?
Is here.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I was just saying, I'm glad you're
Where'd
here.
Gillette was going to close.
We're adjourned at 11:06.
After what you've gone through, it's great you're here.
I'm sorry. Don't leave. We got to sign.
They're coming.